Well, good evening, everyone. Merry Christmas, and welcome to First Baptist Church. It's good to see so many familiar faces and friends among us this evening in the congregation. And I pray God's blessings upon you and your family, your loved ones near and far, that as you gather around your tables and trees, either this evening or tomorrow, whenever that may be, that God's presence would be very real to you and that you would feel the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that only Christ can bring. If you've been with us the past few weeks, we've been part of a series of messages that have been relating to the heart of Christmas. And we've looked at each of the four candles on the Advent wreath. And tonight we focus on the center candle, the Christ candle, and what Christ means to each of us during this special season. There was a nativity play that was going on in a Roman Catholic church many years ago, and it was actually in a school years ago. And the centerpiece was all set. There was the manger. There were statues of Mary, a statue of Joseph. There were all kinds of animals that were propped up there, wooden animals. There were sheep. There were cattle. They were all there. They were all part of it. And there were two nuns that were present, and they were making last-minute preparations with the children, adjusting costumes and so forth for the annual nativity play at their school. And all of a sudden, one of the nuns runs up to the mother superior, and she says to her, "We forgot the baby Jesus. We forgot the baby Jesus." And mother superior smiled at the nuns, and she said, "That's the problem with this world today. We forget the baby Jesus." Listen, tonight you have not forgotten the baby Jesus. You are here. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you're here. We gather here on this Christmas Eve, which is now upon us. And even though you may have forgotten a couple of things for Christmas, it's too late almost to go to the store now. And I don't think Amazon will be delivering tomorrow, but I could be wrong. But perhaps you could still get something. But if that's all that is the matter with your Christmas this year, I want to remind you, don't forget the baby Jesus. That's the most important person around your table, around your tree, in your family gatherings tonight, tomorrow, whatever time you will be gathering together. And Jesus is and should be at the heart of all of our Christmas celebrations. I want to read a brief portion of Scripture to you this evening, which is the Christmas story as recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's entitled "The Birth of Jesus." In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came forth for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. The Christmas story is many things, and tonight we're going to look at a couple of them. First, the Christmas story is a story of obedience. It's a story that at the heart of it is two parents that were obedient to what they were told and what they heard from angels. It was Mary in the Gospel of Matthew when she was faced with a difficult choice, whether or not she would carry the child of the Lord. And later on, she would say these words. She would say, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She was obedient to the Lord. And then there was Joseph, who was faced with a challenging decision of whether or not he was going to become married to Mary. The difficulty was, of course, because she was already pregnant before they were married. And try to explain that to a young man waiting to be married, and he knows it's not his child. A very difficult time, but nonetheless, an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him not to be afraid. And so he took Mary as his wife. And later on, she gave birth to that son, Jesus Christ. It was a story of obedience. The Apostle Peter tells us that we are children of obedience in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. So we too are to be obedient. At the heart of Christmas is Jesus, and at the heart of this story were two parents that were obedient from the very beginning. The second thing we learn from this passage of Scripture is that they gave glory to God, that is, the shepherds. If you read on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, you find the shepherds and the angels' story. And there we know that the shepherds were also obedient because they ran as they were told, and they told everybody. They went to see what happened, and then they came back and they were overjoyed and they were excited about what they had seen because it was just as they had been told. They came back and they were glorifying God. And so Christmas is about obedience, but Christmas is also about glorifying God. And I assume that's one of the reasons you came here tonight, to give glory unto Jesus Christ, the newborn Savior of the world. But what does that mean? We throw that word around a lot. Glory to God in the highest, the angels proclaimed. What does that mean? It means that we honor Jesus for what he has done. It means that we put him in the place of ultimate power, and we humble ourselves and we put others above ourselves. It means that we give glory to God and we value him above anything else this world has to offer. I invite you tonight once again to place Jesus at the heart of your Christmas and remember to glorify him in your family time. Christmas, of course, is above all about Jesus. Yes, it's about obedience. Yes, it's about glorifying God. But Christmas is all about Jesus. It's about the peace. It's about hope. It's about love and joy. But primarily, we talk about Jesus at this time of year. And unlike any human in history ever born, Jesus would come and be born in Bethlehem in a very unique way, in a unique place, one that you and I would likely not have chosen. And it was there that the Son of God was born into the world. The Scriptures tell us that he had a heavenly preexistence. And so John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning, from the very beginning of time, Jesus was. He was that Word, and he dwelled among us. He came down and left heaven because he was already there, but he came down to be with us, to be God incarnate, to be God in the flesh, God with bones, God with skin, to be among his people because he loved us so much. And Jesus tells us that if we have seen him, we have also seen God. And so this means that Jesus is the same as God. He is the deity in that form. He is God come down in the human flesh. He is the heart of our Christmas. And in the birth of Jesus at Christmas, the eternal, all-powerful, and all-knowing God came to earth to be with us. Why would he come as a baby? We think like at the triumphal entry story before Easter on Palm Sunday, you would think that Jesus would come riding in on this great stallion, but he came riding humbly upon a donkey. You would think at this Christmas time that if God were to come, there would be all this fanfare and the appearance to all the world at once and stars shining bright. But no, there was one star that shone bright, and it shone over Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And it was born as a baby, not a strong man or strong woman, but a strong young baby, a healthy baby, who would grow in wisdom and stature. He came so that you and I could have a personal relationship with him. That's God's desire. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And that's what Christmas is all about. That you and I can have a personal relationship with a God who loves us, a God who wants to be with us, a God who wants to give us a chance to be forgiven and to begin again, a God who brings healing to the world, a God who helps take care of the poor, a God who loves those who are lonely and brings them unto himself. And he does this through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he does this through each and every one of us. I pray that this Christmas season and into the new year, that each and every one of you will make Jesus not only the heart of your Christmas, but the heart of your lives and everything that you do and say. And how much better off our world would be if we could all do that. Make Jesus the heart of your Christmas tonight, tomorrow, and in through the rest of the remaining Christmas season and on into the new year. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Amen.